You have been teased for the last 3 Sundays with the story of Jacob, beautifully told by Erica. I think you were reading all these past 3 Sundays. I may have made a mistake, but all the 3 past Sundays was beautifully read. So less is so much fun. Is that the story itself is so much fun. I would hate not to reflect it together as a community, right? Carl Jung, the Swiss psychiatrist, famously said, "One does not become enlightened by imagining figures of light, but by making the darkness conscious." We'll read that once again. One does not become enlightened by imagining figures of light, but by making the darkness conscious. He was suggesting that true self-awareness comes from facing our hidden fears and flaws rather than just thinking about good and holy things. Don't know how you feel about that. But reflecting on this insight from Jung, one of my favorite preachers, Barbara Brown Taylor, remarks, open quote, "I realize that in a whole lifetime spent with seeker of enlightenment, I have never once heard anyone speak in hushed tones about the value of enlightenment." Enlightenment, enlightenment. If I may conduct a quick survey, let's have a show of hand if you come to church this morning to be enlightened. And let's raise your hand if you come to be enlightened. Well, I think Barbara Brown Taylor made her point, eh? She continues, "You do not hear much about God causing the chaos in life or even having a role in it, do you? On the contrary, it is God's job to make it stop. God is supposed to restore the status quo and help everyone feel comfortable again. Isn't that how you know when God is present in your life? When the danger has been avoided, right? When your heart stopped pounding and you can breathe normal again." It is an appealing idea, she said, but unfortunately, the Bible does not back that up. Sorry, folks. The Bible does not back that claim up, or the popular ideas about how God is present in our lives. Instead, she continues, "In that richly troubling book, much of God's best work takes place in total chaos, with people scared half out of their wits. Think about Elijah, trembling under his broom tree, pleading with God to take his life. Think about Mary, mother of Jesus, listening to an angel's ambitious plan for plunging her into scandal. What about Paul, lying flat on his belly on the road to Damascus, with all his light put out, lying for 3 days. No one in his or her right mind asked to be attacked, frightened, or wounded. And yet, that is how it comes. Sometimes the presence and blessing of God." Take a moment to ponder about that. Here you go. Your most profound experience of the God who loves you into existence by an everlasting love takes place in a dark place of struggle. Signing up. Over the last 4 weeks, we have been following the very animated story of Jacob in the book of Genesis. Last week, the person who supplants others through trickery was outsmarted by Laban, his kinsman and future father-in-law, and had to offer 14 years of free labor to marry the love of his life. Fast forward 13 years, and we catch up with Jacob now, with two wives, too many children, and livestock, making a return to the land he ran away from, fearing the wrath of his older brother Esau, whom he deceived his birthright. We were told that Jacob worked himself up into an absolute panic. Someone should have got him to breathe into his water skins because the paperback wasn't invented yet. And after he sent everyone away for their safety's sake, or did he do that so that no one would witness his worst stage of crisis? He was all alone in the dark, both figuratively and literally. Then came the famous wrestling match with the stranger. Was he the angel in disguise? The symbolic arch nemesis? Or was it himself? Was he wrestling with himself or his shadow self, as Jung would call it? Or was he wrestling with the Lord God, who has many names? It's one of those most dreaded multiple choice questions that ends with the choices all of the above or none of the above. Are you feeling enlightened yet? To me personally, my coming to terms with my own sexualities in my early 30s was both the hardest thing, but also the best thing that has ever happened to me. It did not just set me free in a very holistic way. It actually makes me really wrestled with the gospel of Christ and arrive and landed on a pond at a place that nothing, really nothing, would separate me from the love of God through Jesus Christ, my Lord. That very same revelation of the mystic Paul that we get to hear last Sunday. And sometimes the invitations to endarkenment is a communal journey. It does not need to be just a personal story. Think about it was just a few years ago when the 215 unmarked graves was found at the Kamloops residential school. It devastated the whole nations. And what I have observed is there tends to be two typical response. One typical response was guilt. Feeling guilty for things that we personally is not responsible for. That is not a good and healthy response. The second typical response is total denial or sometimes even anger. Why are they making us feel guilty? Haven't they taken enough money, taxpayer money, just yet? I have to say, I find both responses can be described as lack of some imaginations. I think is misses the point that this very tragic, sad revelation is inviting Canada as a nation, inviting Christians here in Canada onto this journey to deeply wrestle with our faith, with Christian actions, how a church who are supposed to follow Christ, inclusive love, would end up siding with the machine of colonization in a major way. It is that place of enlightenment, the invitations into this dark place to wrestle, struggle. It is the place of discovery and transformations for Christians and for Canadians. One thing common among the places of enlightenment, either you or the community got knocked out of joint, limping with the victory of surviving a close encounter of the divine and were blessed. You never look back with that same old fear. In every experience of enlightenment, you face your worst and deepest fear head on. There were no running away because your fears appears like a stranger in the middle of a dark night wrestling with you. The promise is that you will prevail like Jacob did, but not without a wound or a limb, for the gift of new eyes and sensitivities to sense the light of the crucified yet resurrected Christ. My friends, the way of Christ, the Christian path is far from the road to prosperity, where some evangelical preachers promise you with a problem-free and problem-solved life. It is an invitation to enlightenment. Others call it the path of descent, where you will re-emerge, rediscovering who you are in the light of God. As a result, Christians, those who follow the way of Christ Jesus, need not fear the path that descends to darkness. Are you finding yourself today in a place of enlightenment? Some tips for you if you are finding yourself in the place, or if you are accompanying someone in this place, take a posture of curiosity. Make sure that you invite a companion to travel along this place of enlightenment. Be patient and remembering the story of Jacob, who was renamed Israel, meaning the one who strives with God and humans and prevails. Let us be this community that supports each other in our places of enlightenment, so that all may be maturing into the love of God and can be the sign of this love in a world that is so hungry for it. Amen.